vision or a godly goal or seeing afar off, vision. What? You guys can't leave. Nobody else leaves. Lock the doors. This is it. Okay. Well, thinking about this a little bit, wondering what motivates you and I to do greater things or tasks or ministries for the Lord or for life. To have a goal, to have a set direction that you're going in is something that really moves us as Christians. Sometimes we get caught up into the mundane and things just kind of go along. Kind of like the other day, I was invited to go with a friend of mine on a trip down Pine Creek with a kayak. And that's why I'm kind of red. Got a lot of sun. But anyways, when you get in the water, when you start going on the water in Pine Creek, the water flows. And you really don't have to do anything other than guide your boats, you know, and get it that way. And it goes all by itself, and you just kind of float along. But when we got in the water, there was a wind that was coming up through the valley. If you've ever been in Pine Creek, you know that valley is really very, very beautiful. But the water was rippling, and guess which way the wind was blowing the water? Upstream. So we had to paddle to go downstream. But the water didn't take us. We actually had to paddle a little bit to get downstream. And I got motivated that if I'm ever going to get down there, I'm going to have to get ahead and do that. It was a little more work than what I expected. I got home and I was really tired, and I wondered why I was tired. And I know I figured it out, because I was paddling against the wind. We were up there another time, and it was quite violent. I'm sitting there, and actually, as fast as that water goes, I'm sitting there, and it's blowing us back upstream. But we did make it down about 3 hours later, and safely we made it down. But I believe what I saw happening here over the last 3 days is something here at TBC is exactly the product of having what is called a heavenly vision. Being apart from something bigger than ourselves, with a goal of introducing the corner of Williamsport, and that's our Jerusalem. Or South Williamsport and Du Bois Town, that would be our Judea. Or Old Lycoming and outer parts, which would be our Samaria. And then if the Lord would bring somebody in from, you know, Hughesville, someplace outside of that, Muncie, you know, that would be the uttermost parts of the earth. But introducing the Lord Jesus, that's what it's all about. It's introducing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's using what is called a vision. What is a vision? Well, I'd like to challenge you tonight, and me, there's a desperate need in any church, and especially this church here tonight, and that is the need of a vision. This is a force that can take a group of people and believers, and I've seen it happen, and I've experienced it, you've experienced it. It can take a group of people and work for God, and go higher than you can even imagine. You can do things beyond. And how is that going to happen? You can influence a person on foreign soil or a stranger across the street or share the gospel wherever it is. It's always characterized by one verse, and that is 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. When I'm talking about vision and sight, the lack of this force will bring utter destruction to every individual or group of believers, yet it always thrives on something called the future. It thrives on that. Not the past, but it keeps the past in sight. So I'd like to consider that word vision tonight. If you want to turn, please, to Proverbs 29:18. Look at a couple of verses, and then we're going to go to a passage a little later. Proverbs 29, one that is quoted in a lot. 29:18. For where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In order to have that joy in Christ, I don't care what it is that you're into and you're doing, you're working for something, if you're going to have a joyous attitude about getting something accomplished, you need to have a vision to see ahead that that's going to get done. What's it going to look like when it gets done? What's your house going to look like when it's finished and all painted? What's that? And if you have a vision of that, if you have that, that's what we're looking at tonight. And that is called. Acts chapter 10, the Apostle Peter saw a vision. We're not talking about that. That very fact that he saw something. And there's a lot of people today in the world that are visionaries in a sense that they have seen something. But we're talking about something that's inside and it's going to come outside. That's happened. We transformed good. Christina had a vision. I don't know what it was, but she saw it and she put it together and you guys did it. And the rooms around here are going to, you know, they're taking on a different, and so it takes that, all right? Vision, it's an eager pursuit, and here it is. It's an eager pursuit to know and to do the will of God tomorrow by doing it today. Looking ahead, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Vision summons us to trust somebody than ourselves. And guess who? God. Vision does that because it's putting us above ourselves. It's always characterized by those particular verses. Let's take a look at those real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then we're going to go to the Old Testament. To a character who had vision and passed it on to somebody who needed to have vision to see what was going to take place. 5:7 says, all right, following the verse, therefore we are always confident in knowing while we are at home in the body and absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, 5:7, and not by sight. Look up at verse 18 of chapter 4, last verse in chapter 4. For we look not, what? At the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are we dealing with here? We're dealing with eternal matters. We're dealing with the lives of boys and girls. We're dealing with the lives of parents, of grandparents, of people who we have a vision to have their lives somehow transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been reading a book. It's always good to read books. Besides the Bible, yes, but this one was handed to me by Pastor Long, and it's called Business the Bible Way, Christ like communication with the corporate culture. Listen to this. All right. And he's describing the founder of an institution who had a vision even before it began and saw something that he wanted to take place. The vision of the founder of BJU was very simple. Here's what he said in 1928. Between my evangelistic campaigns, I went from place to place, up and down the country, giving a special lecture and sermon on the perils of America. Where is the nation headed? He said. He said, I saw the trend in America, and I knew we were going to have broken homes, juvenile criminals, a wave of moral looseness that would sweep across the country. When I read this, I wanted to find something about families, he said. More than 50 years before that, God gave a spiritual vision, which is called a heavenly vision, to a man. It wasn't obvious, but in 1924, we have to look at it from his perspective. His vision came from God. And if we have something that's implanted in us that needs to be from the Lord, all right, yes, we have all kinds of things, but this needs to be settled. What direction are we going to go in? What do we want to get accomplished with this? Corporately, we must share and catch that vision. And that's the thing that I want to talk about tonight, is catching the vision. We need to catch the vision that Christina had. And I don't know, but we need to get that. And how are you going to get that? Well, you come in, you see things happen, but I'll tell you what, when you get that, you are motivated along the way, and God can really push you to higher things than you can even imagine. We must be able to see spiritually the direction that the world has gone. 15 years ago or so, when Pastor Long came here, it was his vision to reach the city for Jesus Christ. Some of you weren't here when he announced that, and we began that trend, that movement to reach the city. And that is a vision that's still deep in his heart. I really believe that. All right, we must realize that we are living in that day. Years ago, Bob Jones Sr. saw the moral decay of America and public schools and all the things that's happening there. The general nature and object of the corporation shall be to conduct an institution. This is what it says there on that school. All right, but it says giving special emphasis on the Holy Scriptures. How did he explain the vision? He explained his vision by helping others to catch it and get a hold of it. And doing that, I want to bring something of a positive challenge and encouragement to us to catch that vision. When we're apart from something bigger from ourselves, we begin to depend upon someone who is bigger than ourselves, and that is God alone. Our faith will enable us to catch that vision, all right? Because, for one thing, he does it through us. We looked at 2 Corinthians 5:7 and 2 Corinthians 4:8. We depend not on our intellect, listen, but our God. Not what we can do, but what God can do. All right? What can he do? I believe the groundwork for the heavenly vision and seeing afar off is cultivated on our knees rather than our feet. That's why you've come tonight to pray, to set the groundwork for that and ask for God to do something in a greater way in your life. Bob Wood referred to this as work in the closet. Work in the closet. Are you visionaries? Are we seeing by faith what the impossible is? Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. You'll come face to face with a man by the name of Elisha, who was a visionary. in 2 Kings in chapter 6. Of course, he had received a double portion from Elijah, from the Lord, and God enabled him to do greater things. And he was a man of vision. He had seen Elijah go up, and he asked for God to do something greater through him than even through Elijah. That's vision alone. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, we read this. Now, here's the setting. The setting is the nation of Israel has been battling, and one of those battlegrounds was Syria. And the Syrian army had a king, and there was all kinds of things, and he found out the plan of the Syrian army, and the Syrian army general, the king found out about that, and he was all upset. He was going to take down Elisha. But we come to these particular verses, all right? Verse 14, therefore he sent there horses and chariots and great hosts, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Here's the thing, all right? They were about this city of Dothan and around this city, and all the Syrian army with all the chariots and all of that, so they're all around the outside of the city. And, there's absolutely no escape. He's going to take down Elisha. But Elisha knew something more than that. He knew God. He knew God's plan. He knew God's ways, because he was known as the man of God. Notice, he is known as the man of God. All right? Verse 9, look down at verse 9. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not this palace. So he warns the king of Israel not to go there, for the Syrians are going to come down. And so he thwarts their attack, and this is what happens. Verse 15. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early, this servant, and gone forth, behold, an host compassed about the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what are we going to do? What shall we do? Ever been up against it? I've been. You've been. What are we going to do? How are we going to compass this? What's going to take place? Notice, he goes on and says, and he answered those two words that are all over the Bible, fear not. And he says there, fear not. What? So he's having him to catch the vision that Elisha had. Here's how he does it. Now watch. For they who are with us are more than they that are with them. And here's the idea. And Elisha prayed. And this is where it comes down to that area. And I have to believe that Elisha spent more time than just two times that it's listed here that he prayed. He was a man of God. And two times in this passage, he prays. And I'm sure he did a lot of closet work along the way, for Syria, the enemy of Israel, was about to overtake God's people. I'm sure everything is written here in the Bible of all this account, but we don't have everything that absolutely happened there. So there possibly could have been emissaries or individuals or that came and told Elisha, you better run, you better hide, you better do something. All right, it's not going to happen. All right, this is not going to happen. And his servant gets word of that and says, all right, listen, I'm looking out there and all I can see is armies. I'm looking out there and all I can see is kids in vacation Bibles. I'm looking out there and I'm seeing these all over the place in here. What are we going to do? Woo! What are we going to do? That's what he says. And the servant says, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Wow. What shall we do? Obviously, he was looking at checking out, going someplace, getting away from it, gone. But Elisha was that man of vision. And in this particular passage, all Israel and Syria are about to see what a man of vision really saw. Not only was there a time for Elisha, through the servant who needed, but the servant needed to have his eyes opened. How about you? Do we need our eyes opened again with a heavenly vision, with a godly goal, seeing afar off, seeing something beyond, filling this room with children? How are we going to do it? With just a handful? I was encouraged with Pastor Josh on Sunday night and preaching that, you know, we're going to do it. How? God's going to do it through us. We give ourselves to it, he will. They and we need to catch the vision for any task that God puts in our way. I don't care what it is. Next week, any time that God gives us a task, like Vacation Bible School, we need to pray. We need that God opens the eyes of the children, opens the eyes of the parents, opens the eyes of grandparents, of aunts and uncles, of people who are going to come into these halls. But we need to continue on knowing that that's what has happened. Those types of things. A class, a neighbor, a parent, etc., etc. And we who are on God's side, who is bigger than all of that. Now, next week, all right, this is what happens. All right, this is what happens. The servant looks up in verse 17, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open our eyes that we may see. How are we going to do that? God needs to do that in a greater fashion, in a greater way. All of the revivals across the world have been started on knees with people of a vision to do something greater than they've ever done before. Doing something. All of the missionaries that have left years ago and to go into foreign fields had a vision to be able to reach somebody for Christ, to do something beyond them. How are they going to do it? I don't know. But they had a vision from God that said, yes, you're going to be able to do this. Did they fail? No. No. They set in force. They set in motion. The missionaries that lost their lives to the Alca Indians had a vision to be able to reach out to an Indian culture with the gospel of Christ. If you've ever read about that particular account of how they dropped packages and went around and finally made contact with them. What a vision they had to keep going. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. And finally, when they got there, and the horribleness of those Indians who had slaughtered them, but they set in motion missionaries across the world today and people across the world that caught that vision. They caught the vision. They caught it. They weren't taught it in the classroom. They weren't taught it, but they caught it. And that's what we're looking at here tonight. At the end of this verse, it says there, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he what? He saw. He was able to see it. But he saw something bigger than himself. He saw God doing it and the angels about giving a protection to Elisha doing that. And it says, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He was scared for himself and Elisha, but God opened his vision. Elisha prayed, God open his eyes. Pastor is praying, God open our eyes, help us to have a bigger vision than even what we're seeing here tonight. The city, every one of us, everyone is watching what's happening on the corner of 3rd Street and Maynard Street. You got to know that. There are hundreds of cars that go up and down this area and around, and they're wondering, what are those goofy people doing at Tabernacle Baptist Church now? I mean, just last fall we had a truck war here, and what are they doing now? It's because we have a vision, right? It's because we're moving ahead. It's because God wants to do even a greater, greater work. The city, everyone is watching what's happening on this holy ground right here. This is holy ground. And when we get a vision of the fact that this is God's holy ground here, and when we step onto this parking lot, there ought to be a holy awe about us that, hey, there's something greater going on here than I can even imagine. And we're going to have a slew of kids here. We're going to have something greater, and we're going to do that. God has given to us that land. He's given to us this building, and it is holy ground. And when the children see and catch that vision laid out in Scripture through the Lord Jesus Christ, that they need not fear. Verse 16 says, Elisha told the servant, fear not. Where's your vision at? Where is it at? Let's be Elisha's. Let's let God open the eyes, our eyes of faith, as he did to that servant. I conclude with this. This is entitled, He Flew Too Low. He Flew Too Low. A great eagle was mortally wounded by a rifle shot, his eyes still gleaming like circles of light. He slowly turned his head and gave one more searching and longing and look at the sky. He had often swept those starry spaces with his wonderful wings. The beautiful sky was his home and his heart. It was the eagle's domain. 1,000 times he had exploited there with his splendid strength. In those far away heights, he had played with the lightnings and raced with the winds. And now, so far away from home, the eagle lay dying because for once he forgot and he flew too low. Is not this a warning for us? Don't lose your vision. Fly high. Take somebody with you. Take somebody with you. We need a vision. We've got it. Let's catch it and run with it. I trust that'll encourage you tonight.